KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, October 14, 2004, for broadcast at this time. On today's program, we'll hear a debate between the two major party candidates for Congress from Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District, incumbent Republican Lee Terry, and challenger Democrat Nancy Thompson. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Gary Kerr.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Gary Kerr, chairman of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee. Thank you all for being here. The Press Club, as part of its monthly noon forum series, is co-sponsoring today's debate with the League of Women Voters of Greater Omaha. The debate is between the two candidates for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, Republican Lee Terry and Democrat Nancy Thompson. Nancy Thompson was appointed to the Nebraska legislature in 1997 and was elected to the position in 1998 and 2002. Nancy, why don't you come up to the podium? She served on the Sarpy County Board of Commissioners for 8 years. She has a bachelor's degree and master's degrees in history from Creighton University. Lee Terry is seeking his fourth term as congressman from the 2nd District. Lee, come on up. Prior to entering Congress, he was elected to the Omaha City Council in 1991. He has a degree in political science from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and a law degree from Creighton University. The debate rules. Each of the candidates will have 1 minute and 30 seconds to respond to each question, with each getting 30-second rebuttals after that. Each candidate will get two-minute closing statements. Unfortunately, we don't have the high-tech lights that they have at the presidential debate, but we have Belinda Griner with a stopwatch and cards. So, candidates, when you see the stop card, we ask you to wind up. We know there are a lot of partisans in the crowd supporting both candidates, but please, no clapping, hooting and hollering, foot stomping, et cetera, even if you think your candidate has made a particularly strong point. The questions of the candidates were put together by a Press Club, League of Women Voters committee. The candidates have not seen the questions in advance. So as a result of a coin toss, the first question is going to go first to Nancy Thompson. In making a choice for Congress, residents of the 2nd District want to make a comparison. How do you see yourself as different from your opponent?
First of all, thank you to the League of Women Voters for doing this and Gary for moderating it. And it's an honor to be here and a nominee to be considered by you for a vote for Congress. When I chose to run for this seat, I chose to do it because I'm so concerned about the direction we're heading as a country. I feel there's a real need for common sense and Nebraska values to get back on the agenda in Washington. We have a record budget deficit that has gone from a budget surplus in the last 3 years. We have 1 million people who've lost their jobs in the last 3 years in this country. We have a change in federal education policy, which is dictating to our schools a cookie-cutter federal approach. We have not met the needs of our senior citizens and our health care program because we have not had a true negotiated drug benefit in the prescription drug bill for them. And we need to make sure that we are taking care of our soldiers when they're away and making sure we're taking care of them when they come back home. And that needs to be a priority. My votes would have been different from my opponents, and I'm sure you're going to have a chance to hear about those today. But I will put the priorities of the people of this district first. I will use the common sense that I've learned as a member of the Nebraska legislature and throughout my political career, that the best decisions get made with the best ideas, and I want to take those ideas to Washington for you.
Lee Terry, a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, thank you. Let me start off by also thanking the Omaha Press Club and League of Women Voters for sponsoring this debate. And the fact that I'm speaking here and having the sound of knives and forks at plates remind me of my days of waiting on tables at Peony Park and doing the same thing to the speakers. I hearken back to those really fond days. But I think probably the biggest difference between my opponent in me is just the philosophy of government. I believe in the spirit of the individual and trust the individual, that if government gets out of their way, that they will, and small businesses will do great things for themselves and for their community and for America. So my votes in Congress have been to empower small business and to empower the individual and not grow government. Government isn't always the answer to every problem, but empowering people is, whether it's by tax cuts and letting them keep more of their money, a particular issue of which there is significant disagreement between my opponent and myself. Another reason is experience. This is for my fourth term in Congress. Three terms, I've been made part of the leadership team. I'm an effective voice in Congress for the people of Nebraska, and I'm using that to our advantage for this state.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
I think that one of the things you need to look at are the promises that your current member of Congress made to you when he ran. He was going to run for three terms. He broke that promise. He was running for a balanced federal budget. He broke that promise. He said he wasn't going to encourage federal intervention in education. He broke that promise. And less than a month ago, he went on TV, held a press conference saying he was not going to have an ad that mentioned me in it or mentioned the things that, and he was only going to stay positive. And he has not done that.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Again, my experience in Congress allows me to be more effective. And just as my opponent has said when she talked about how long it takes in the state legislature, she said it takes 8 years to become accustomed. And frankly, on the ads, you know, after 6 weeks of being called out by negative ads from my opponent, just to expose her record on increasing people's taxes, I think was necessary to inform the electorate.
New question for Lee Terry. Last month, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan told the House Budget Committee that as a nation, we may have already made promises to coming generations of retirees that we will be unable to fund. To be specific, Social Security has $12.7 trillion in obligations that it cannot meet for current workers and retirees at the present Social Security tax rate. What measures do you support to address this problem?
First of all, when addressing the issue of the solvency of Social Security, we have to keep in mind that it's solvent in the near term. What we're talking about is its impending insolvency in about the year 2040, 2045. So what we're talking about is saving Social Security for the next generations in there. And I make a commitment to those seniors that are already in the Social Security system that we will do everything possible to ensure its soundness and its safety, and you don't have to worry about that. But we need to look at the alternatives. What can we do to make sure that when the next generations enter and can rely on Social Security? They believe that people of generation my younger believe more in UFOs than they will in the soundness of Social Security for themselves. We have to look at alternatives, and one of the alternatives is allowing, as I call it, your self-directed Social Security account, where you can take a portion of your dollars and move it into your own accounts where you would control and have ownership of that. All the studies that I've shown say that that move will secure Social Security beyond 2040 for many generations to come.
Nancy Thompson.
The Social Security system is only in trouble because we have failed to balance the federal budget and because of the spending at the federal level and the huge deficit that we have. We have to make sure that our economy is strong and it can sustain Social Security. Congressman Terry's response to allow a change in our policy from one generation supporting the retiring generation will divert money that's needed to take care of the people who are retiring. There is no way to balance that. There is no fiscal way that is an actually true way that you can save Social Security because you can't afford to subsidize it because we don't have the money as a country to be able to do that. It is not fiscally sound. There's not a reason it hasn't been pushed in Congress. It's a reason it hasn't been pushed by the President because it is not fiscally sound. There will have to be backed up by trillions of dollars because the current generation takes care of the retiring generation. That is how Social Security works. Social Security will be strong as long as we do a good job taking care of our budget situation and balancing the federal budget.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
We absolutely have to make sure that Social Security is sound and safe for our current seniors and the next generations to come, and doing nothing about the problem. In the immortal words of Bob Kerry, the only option then that will be left on the table is to have about a 20% FICA or Social Security tax on every wage earner. We can't allow that to happen. We have to have a national dialogue of the options that are available to us, and we have to act now. We've got about a 6, maybe 8-year window of opportunity to correct this for the future.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
The Congressman's solution is the wrong answer. We can sustain our Social Security system as long as we have a strong economy and jobs are being created and people have jobs that pay well and can take care of their families and can get to the needs that we see, taking care of their health care and their rising costs that they have every single day. Social Security can be sustained with a strong economy. We don't need to divert funding from it to jeopardize it in the future.
New question for Nancy Thompson. Figures for Medicare are even more alarming, as the health care program has $30 trillion in unfunded liability, $6.9 trillion of which stems from the new prescription drug benefit. For perspective, the gross domestic product, the entire economic output of the United States, was $11 trillion last year. What changes to Medicare benefits and/or funding do you expect to help avoid a pending crisis?
I think this is one of the biggest issues that Congressman Terry and I differ on. We should have not passed a prescription drug bill that didn't allow negotiation for prices and competition. The Medicare portion of that prescription drug bill specifically states that you cannot negotiate for price. In this country, we pay, the federal government pays, state governments, government pays for 53% of medical care. They are negotiated prices. We negotiate prices in the veterans health system. We negotiate prices in our prison systems. We negotiate prices in our military system. We need to make sure that we negotiate for prescription drug prices. It's ridiculous that we are paying retail in the prescription drug program for our senior citizens' drug costs. The federal government should have used its negotiating power to bring prices down. They should not prohibit reimportation from Canada so that people don't have the opportunity to be able to have the money that they need for prescription drugs in this country. It was a wrong vote. I would not have voted for poor public policy. We need a prescription drug benefit, but we didn't need to give away the farm to the pharmaceutical companies to be able to pay for it.
Lee Terry, a minute 30.
Medicare is a 1965 program that needs to be brought into the modern world. We need to deal with the issues that are confronting our seniors in today's medical environment. It needs to be modernized. I introduced a bill in Congress, and yes, that wasn't the one that was adopted, but I thought that the seniors deserved a plan like I have in Congress and suggested that they should be enrolled in the same type of plan that I am. That wasn't the bill that was brought forward. The next best thing was to modernize Medicare by recognizing that the price of prescription drugs is ridiculous and that we need to do something about it, and giving the seniors the opportunity that was voluntary and affordable and can meet their own needs, which are the three criteria that are part of this Medicare Modernization Act, so they can afford a policy to buy prescription drugs. The second aspect that I think is just equally as important is preventative care. For the first time, we recognize the importance of preventative care in medicine. And for example, with diabetes, Medicare wouldn't pay for an education class to learn how to take care of your diabetes, but they pay $20,000 to have your leg amputated. That's ridiculous. So we can occur with savings or have savings just with preventative care. So we took a large step forward in modernizing Medicare for our seniors.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
The prescription drug bill was lobbied heavily by the pharmaceutical firms, and they got their way in the way it was written. We should not have that as national public policy. We should not be spending taxpayer dollars without negotiation. As you notice, he did not mention that challenge that I made to him of negotiation that needs to happen in that system. That was poor public policy that's going to cost the system and going to cause problems for a long time. The senior citizens of this country deserved a negotiated price. They deserved better than what they got.
Lee Terry.
Well, first of all, she's not being truthful in the sense that that Medicare Act put in a provision where we hire private companies. See, this is one of the philosophical differences between us. She wants government to set price controls, to be in control of the prices, whereas we went out and hired, in this bill, companies that already do that in the private sector and allowed them to negotiate for us and pass those savings on through the drug stores to our seniors.
New question for Lee Terry. We're following along in the same theme here, and this was mentioned previously. Millions of Americans are buying prescription drugs through Canada because those drugs are so expensive in the U.S. Do you support legalization of this practice?
Yeah, I voted in regard to reimportation. I want to make sure that seniors can have access to affordable medicine. I have voted three times to allow reimportation of drugs. Albeit, I will say that we want to make sure that when a senior is getting on Canada RX, that they're actually getting the drugs that they want. So we want to make sure there's a safety component to make sure that our seniors aren't putting themselves in jeopardy. And as a matter of fact, with Canada RX, there was a recent article that those drugs were actually coming through the Bahamas, not through Canada. And so we have to worry about the safety, but we need to do it, allow this. My grand hope, by the way, is that when the prescription drug benefit, the Modernization Act, comes into effect in 2006, when seniors can go out and with their own choice buy a policy that fits their needs, that it makes reimportation from Canada irrelevant because the drugs that they'll be receiving at the prices would be cheaper than reimporting drugs from Canada.
Nancy Thompson, a minute 30.
Pharmaceutical companies are one of the most profitable sectors of the American economy. Americans pay more for prescription drugs than any people in the world. We have to have competition in that system, and we shouldn't be barring it for our senior citizens, and we shouldn't be making them feel like criminals to do that. I have a friend who is in a small business who doesn't have prescription drug coverage, and he had a family member with an extremely serious illness. And he looked at me about a year ago, and he said, I am very ashamed that I am buying those drugs on the Internet because I can't afford it, and I have to be able to support my family. We shouldn't be hearing about stories like that in America. And we should have the backbone to stand up and say, we are going to allow some competition for the same drugs that people buy here, manufactured in the same fashion. In fact, I have a gentleman who said his diabetes drugs are produced in France and Germany, and he buys them here. This bill did not have to be that way. We did not have to restrict that competition. And Congressman Terry should have done more to make sure that we were able to have that competition to make drugs affordable in this country.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Due to our vote to modernize prescription drugs and Medicare, help is on the way for your friends, especially the lower income, where they'll receive substantial help in obtaining their prescription drugs, and that looking on the Internet or trying to import from a foreign country and risk your own safety will be irrelevant. It won't even be a choice that they'd have to make because we'll have helped them because of a Medicare Modernization Act that my opponent said she would have prevented from coming into being.
Nancy Thompson.
We have to negotiate and we have to have competition for prescription drugs. This is eating up everyone's income, not only the senior citizens, but that bill was a mistake. It was a sellout to the pharmaceutical companies.
New question for Nancy Thompson. You have been sharply critical of the No Child Left Behind Act pushed by President Bush. Isn't it important that we have some kind of national standards to help ensure accountability in public education.
The federal government should be the junior partner, not the senior partner in public education. The federal government passed a cookie-cutter federal approach to educational testing that was not needed in Nebraska. As a member of the legislature, I worked with the education community, and we passed a bill that is now the law in Nebraska, which has our own set of accountabilities that we have developed as a state with our own communities. It's not the role of the federal government to be dictating to local communities their education goals. And in doing so, they didn't fully fund it, and now local communities and local school boards and our school districts here are putting valuable resources, diverting those resources from curriculum in the classroom, taking time and energy for a bureaucratic mess that's not achieving the goal of helping the kids who need the help the most. That needs to be amended. I want to be your member of Congress in 2006 when it comes up for reauthorization. I will see to it that that bureaucratic intervention of the federal government that's getting in the way of communities setting continuous goals is gone. We need to bring public education to the people who are in our communities working collaboratively to do the best in their communities. You can't dictate that from Washington.
Lee Terry, minute 30.
Well, let's be straight. No Child Left Behind specifically forbids national standards. What the No Child Left Behind Act did is said, look, we have Title I funding and various programs in the Department of Education. In order to receive these federal fundings, the old way was you have to implement this program and do it this way. No Child Left Behind said, look, we're going to let you be creative at the local school level. You know what's best in the classrooms. We're not going to just say this is a one-size-fits-all program, but we want to ask one fundamental question. At the end of the third grade, is a third grader reading at a third grade level? That's all the questions we're going to ask anymore. In fact, it specifically states, No Child Left Behind, that the school districts can adopt their own standards of what's appropriate at the end of the third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, etc. They can do community standards, they can do state standards, but the one thing that's not allowed is a national standard. I look at the No Child Left Behind and say, you know what, we've taken a big step towards improving education. And in order to be competitive in a 21st century economy, a global economy, we need to be number one in education. It should be embarrassing to us that our high school seniors rank 12th in math and then in the world, and we can't afford to have that happen. The No Child Left Behind takes a big step to making sure we'll be number one in education in the world.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
The best thing the federal government could have done is to do the thing we know that is research-based, that's the best thing you can do for public schools. And that's help the school districts that have a disproportionate number of children in poverty, English as a second language, children with special needs, help them have the resources to help all kids succeed. But we need to make sure every classroom has a teacher with great skills that's doing the very, very best for those kids. And that's what we should be doing as a federal government, not putting cookie-cutter ed testing processes in place.
Lee Terry.
Again, once the school district gets to make the decision of what the standards are and the research behind those, not the federal government. Funding for No Child Left Behind or Title I funding has increased dramatically. In fact, in 3 years in the state of Nebraska, that's gone from $32 million to $48 million. And the reading program alone received a 300% increase in the last 3 years. So it's not really accurate to say that we aren't fully funding No Child Left Behind.
New question for Lee Terry. You have sided with lawyers in opposing limits or caps on medical malpractice claims, even though many in your own party believe limits are necessary to help hold down the rise in medical costs. Your reasoning?
Absolutely. And first of all, I believe that our medical costs are too high. And I stand here and say that, yes, part of those costs are related to lawsuits. I also believe that if we're going to reform lawsuits, first of all, let's look at the role of the federal government imposing it on tort laws that are traditionally held for the states. Nebraska has a plan in place, and I don't think it's the role of the federal government to come in and tell the state of Nebraska what their Med-Mal tort law should be. But secondly, I have some really strong feelings about making sure that a victim is properly compensated. When I look at jury verdicts with my, 10 years as a practicing lawyer, what I see where the abuse is coming from is punitive damages. When we see a newspaper article or a story about, Jesus, $30 or $50 or $100 million lawsuit, when you boil it down, usually 90% of it is punitive damage, and that doesn't go to compensating a victim. And so I think we can do a lot of good in reducing those type of Med-Mal costs in the system by controlling or eliminating the punitive damage aspect. In fact, I drafted an amendment for that when we were marking up this bill in our committee.
Nancy Thompson.
Congressman Terry and I have very different views on this particular issue and for very different reasons. I believe people need to be compensated, certainly, for any mistakes that happen in a medical situation, and they have to be taken care of. Their future earnings have to be considered. That has to happen. But we are in a different place in this country right now with what needs to happen for affordable health care. And if we support the $250,000 non-economic damage cap, we're going to get to several things. First of all, we're going to get to the issue that doctors are afraid of being sued and they are afraid of sharing information. If they have that, if we have that ability to have that information, to know what standards of practice are being used, to be able to do a better job in making sure errors aren't happening, and educate, we'll be able to save money on health care and people will have better outcomes. A problem we're having in our medical schools right here in this state is that people aren't going into specialties that we need desperately because it's like a small business and they can't afford Med-Mal costs. And we need to make sure we have people in those specialties so we all stay healthy. This is just a common sense thing to do to help us make sure we have the health care that our citizens need and make sure that we are able to improve that health care and improve quality.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Another idea that I raised in our committee is copying the Nebraska system where we have a pool that the doctors and insurance companies contribute into for those to reduce the cost of their Med-Mal premiums. I think we could look at doing something that on a national level for these high-risk medical professions like OBGYN, neurosurgery, emergency room. Medical errors is another area that I've supported. We've created a national data bank where doctors and hospitals can report medical errors free of any liability. This will help reduce the incidences of malpractice.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
We need to have rational public approaches to the issues of affordable health care in this country. And we're going to have to do business a little differently to be able to get to those issues. This is one area that the two of us have a significant difference of opinion on. It's a tough issue for people on both sides. But the most reasonable approach right now is to make sure that doctors can afford the liability insurance that they need for their malpractice, that we're rooting out the people who are doing a bad job, make sure that they don't practice anymore, and that we're taking care of our getting our health care costs affordable.
New question for Nancy Thompson. In recent days, the price of oil has exceeded $50 per barrel, with instability in many producing countries a key factor. What measures should the U.S. take to reduce our dependence on foreign oil?
Our energy policy, instead of there's a reason the energy bill isn't passing in Congress, and the reason is it's got way too many subsidies, too much pollution, too much problem. It needs to be more based in making sure that we move toward energy independence. We're going to have to improve the technologies of energy, of the sources that are not our fossil fuels, to be able to make sure that they are affordable and developable in this country. We don't need to drill in the Arctic Refuge, as my opponent has supported. We need to encourage conservation, but we need to be investing in the fuels of the future, in the way that we can provide energy in the future. We have to make sure they're more efficient. And as one of the things we need to make a priority is making sure our businesses, our industry, are becoming fuel efficient so that the costs of energy don't continue to rise in this country. Thank you.
Lee Terry, minute 30.
Absolutely. We need to work for a comprehensive energy policy for this country. I think it's important to the future of this country that we look at our dependence on foreign oil and figure out ways that we can become less dependent from oil, from foreign energy. And we have to look at a variety of different ways. And this is what's in the energy bill that she just criticized. There's conservation. Yes, we're talking economic supply and demand. And we need to look at ways to increase supply. We need to look at ways to decrease demand, and that's why I've been such a proponent in the automobile technology of the hydrogen fuel cell that could take a Chevy Tahoe from 16 miles to the gallon to 40 miles to the gallon, and we can use renewable fuels to fuel that hydrogen fuel cell Tahoe with ethanol, and that's my vision for the future. Now, I got to tell you that it's a little bit scary for me, and I think maybe it would bother some others when my opponent was interviewed by the Farm Bureau and was asked about environmental policies. Her reply was, I take my guidance from the Sierra Club. And I'll tell you what, if we're going to take our guidance from the environmental groups only without any balance within here, then the $53 price of barrel that we just saw last week, it's going to double.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
I was not interviewed by the Farm Bureau for this race, and but I will say that I believe that we need to have environmental protection in this country, and we don't need to sell it short to get to our energy objectives. We can do both. I am 56 years old, and I have never seen the setbacks that we have seen to environmental policy. I never thought we'd be backing up and pushing things that weren't for clean air and clean water in our energy policy.
Lee Terry?
The interview was for your legislative race, and there needs to be balance. Yes, we need to protect our environment. I have three little kids, and all of us want clean air and clean soil. We have to have some balance in these. We just can't go to the extreme. The extremes are what causing some of the problems today. So take it to just generations ahead is only going to be have dramatic effects on our livelihood in this nation. It's environmental policies in natural gas that are closing down production within the United States. When you get your heating bills this winter, think about that.
New question for Lee Terry. On the subject of Iraq, everyone is looking toward the elections there in January as being a defining moment. This is when Iraq's citizens are to attain self-governance. If continued violence prevents the elections, and many believe that will happen, should the United States get out or should we continue to send troops and money there to try to turn the situation around?
We have an obligation to see this through. I will not support withdrawing our troops out of Iraq. And frankly, to withdraw from Iraq would send a terrible message throughout the world that the U.S. Won't keep its word, can't be trusted on foreign policy. That will be devastating to us in the future. Secondly, we've made a commitment to the 70-some percent of Iraq who wants a democratic form of government. We owe it to them to see it through. And we should never cave in to the insurgents and the terrorists that are the ones responsible for this violence. Let's keep in mind, we've got well over 100,000 of our men and women over there to try and establish a free and democratic Iraq right now, and we're dealing with hundreds of insurgents. We can't let the terrorists win. One thing that we know from history with terrorists is they will strike again. They may take a year or 2 years to plan the next attack, but believe me, they will. And we need to fight them on their turf and not in our communities.
Nancy Thompson, a minute 30.
The question, I believe, was about Iraq, and I think we need to talk about not only, if Congressman Terry's going to stray a little far from that question, our situation in Afghanistan and the things that we need to do to keep our troops safe and take care of them when they come home. But the question was, what's going to happen and what should be our plan in Iraq? And I believe that Congress failed in its responsibility to ask those questions going in. There was no doubt that we were going to win this war. But the problem that we have now, the mess that we have on the ground, is because we didn't listen to the military experts. We didn't listen to the Middle Eastern experts. We have to regroup. We have to determine our goals. We have to have peace for the people of the area. This is a terrible situation we're in, and a lot of why we can't get to this election for them is because of poor planning going in. As a member of Congress, I would have asked those tough questions. I would have demanded to know if we had the resources going in. I would have looked at the history of the area, what the types of things that were going to happen that we could pretty much anticipate. We have to have Congress take a stronger role in making sure that we're taking care of our own troops and we have a plan for them to come home.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
My opponent said that she wouldn't have voted for authorizing troops in Iraq. So Iraqis today, under my opponent's philosophy, would still be subject to torture from Saddam Hussein. We would not be uncovering the mass graves of the hundreds of thousands, if not million, of people that he's killed. They wouldn't be going to, they wouldn't have the opportunity to vote in the future. Just continue to shake in fear. We in our communities would now know from the Dolfo report that we would still be at risk from this madman.
Nancy Thompson.
I would have insisted that we work with a coalition of countries to do this. We could have worked with people from that area of the world and taken out Saddam Hussein and done it with a coalition. We needed to do that. I support what Chuck Hagel has said and what Congressman B. Ryder has said. We needed to work with the community of nations, with the alliances, with international institutions, with coalitions. That would have been done and could have been done. We should have done that, and we'd be better off today.
New question for Nancy Thompson. What is your view of the Patriot Act enacted after 9/11? Does it greatly erode civil liberties, or are its provisions necessary to protect against terrorism?
The parts of the Patriot Act that made for easier flow of information among intelligence agencies were good. And we do know from the 9/11 report that perhaps that was some interpretation that happened in the FBI, that maybe the act wasn't even necessary. But regardless, we've taken care of that. But we should have not taken away civil liberties. We should not have people detained without probable cause. We should not have your records being looked at without your knowledge or probable cause. I see people in the room that I've discussed this issue with. If you're in finance, if you're in medicine, all of you who aren't familiar with that, there's a whole lot of your information that is available now, not through probable cause, and that is a setback to our civil liberties in this country. The Patriot Act needs to be amended. Clearly, the things that are on our national security interests so that we do a better job with intelligence must be retained. But we don't need to step over the line and take away the civil liberties that we have fought to protect. That is what America is about. Search and detention without probable cause, without a right of counsel, those are the things that need to be reexamined. And I would be looking at amendments to that as your member of Congress.
Lee Terry, a minute 30.
9/11 changed the world. We need to focus on becoming safe from terrorism. And the 9/11 Commission even set out that the same recommendations that were adopted in the Patriot Act. We're going to review that starting next year, and there may be ways that we can improve or change the Patriot Act. Now, let me tell you a story that was in the 9/11 Commission report about a terrorist that was one of the hijackers on a 9/11 flight, that we knew that this person associated with terrorists. We knew this person had come into the country, but there was a decision made within our law enforcement agencies that we couldn't go and search his room, we couldn't tap his phone or computer with the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act or courts, because even though we knew that he associated with terrorists, that they could not meet their probable cause level under this Foreign Intelligence Service Act. Now what we say is, if you're known to associate with terrorists, and by the way, Patriot Act only deals with terrorism. and foreign nationals that are known to be terrorists. What this Patriot Act says, if you even just associate with terrorists and you come into this country, the court can issue a warrant to the FBI or the CIA, or law enforcement agencies can issue a warrant. You still have to go to court, but they can issue it now without having the proof that you actually committed a terrorist act in the past.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
Congressman Terry agrees it needs to be amended, and it shouldn't have been passed in that form. There were warnings about that at the time, and we have problems, and we have now shown through the research and things that have actually happened that there were mistakes made in the passage of that act. I would be looking out for your civil liberties, but I would also make sure that our terrorism funding in this country is fully funded, that we're dealing with the ports, the chemical plants, nuclear power, our infrastructure. That would have been my priority.
Lee Terry.
Putting words in my mouth, I didn't say it needed to be amendment. It says it's going to come up for review and that we'll have a full and vetted hearing on whether or not there needs to be changes in that delicate balance and making sure that when a terrorist comes into our nation that they can, our law enforcement officials will have the proper tools to find out why they're here. We will have hearings. That's why, by the way, it was sunsetted after 5 years. Is not because of its intended use, but to make sure there weren't any abuses. And so far, there hasn't been any record shown of abuses where we went after domestic organizations.
New question for Lee Terry. We're getting back into health care again. Over 40 million Americans are without health insurance because they simply can't afford it. We are one of the few industrialized nations that does not provide all its citizens with health care coverage. Is it time for the United States to adopt universal health care coverage?
I don't support universal health care that will be operated and run as a single-payer system by the United States government. Again, this is one of the fundamental differences between me and my opponent. I believe we should empower the private sector and find out ways that we can have universal health insurance coverage, not grow big government to take over health care as Hillary Clinton planned to do in the early 90s. Now, we have to worry about those folks that are uninsured. Now, what I've learned in talking to our local health insurance companies, why is it so expensive? Why have we seen double-digit increases for 3 years in a row? And their comeback is mandates from state legislatures across this country. There's been 1,000 mandates placed on policies. For an individual policy, that increases the cost by 40%. An executive from Mutual of Omaha said, if you could just eliminate those 1,000 mandates on it for an individual policy, we can drop the cost by 40%. My opponent over here supports those type of mandates that are increasing the cost of health care policies across the nation. And I say you can't have it both ways. You can't support policies that drive up the cost and then complain that it's expensive. And I believe in individual empowerment, and that's why that I voted for and supported health savings account that put the consumer back in the position of power over their own medical care.
Nancy Thompson, a minute 30.
This is a significant difference between the two of us. Lee Terry, our congressman, supports health savings accounts. Medical costs are rising in this country at 13% a year. You cannot save to that. He also criticizes the fact that the Nebraska legislature said women will have testing for mammograms. He earlier mentioned diabetes, and the legislature said instead of just paying for the expensive costs farther down the line, we think that people who have diabetes should be able to have some of their preventative care put in place. The reason health care costs so much is if we don't have that nutrition counseling and other kinds of help for people in the early stages of diabetes, it gets harder and harder to treat as the disease moves on. We should be taking care of women and making sure women's health is important, and that's why Nebraska passed the mammogram screening mandate. that isn't what's breaking the bank on health care in this country. We need to do a better job with preventative medicine. We need to use evidence-based medicine and make sure that we're getting the best outcomes for people, that when you go in and you get your health care taken care of in this country, you're going to get better. We know that mistakes are made. We know that American healthcare gets it wrong 53% of the time from a study last year. We have to do a better job to get the cost down and do a better job in our healthcare system.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Again, we've heard about several of the mandates that she supports. And individually, who can argue with mammograms, diabetes education, mental health care expansion, fertilization, all the other issues that she supported mandating into insurance policies? My point is that you can't have it both ways. You can't adopt policies, support policies that drive up the cost of health insurance policies and then complain about it. You should be more responsible and eliminate those mandates on health insurance policies and help make those policies affordable for small businesses and individuals.
Nancy Thompson.
The reason health care isn't affordable is because prices are going up all across the board. It's not just health insurance. It's throughout the system. We have to do the things to improve our administrative costs, get the costs of prescription drugs down. We have to make sure we're using good medical practices throughout the system so we're getting the best outcomes in this country for people who need health care. We need to be able to help people who have chronic disease better manage that. That's how you get the prices down. It's not by saying, we're not going to cover your mammogram.
New question for Nancy Thompson. You charge in your TV ads that Lee Terry has helped dig a deficit hole. One way the hole can be filled is by sharply reducing spending for many programs. Would you favor such an approach, and what programs would you cut?
Well, the first place I would start would be to go back and amend the prescription drug bill that Congress passed last year that Congressman Terry's been touting here today, and say we will negotiate for prices in the prescription drug program. We can do that. That needs to be amended. You can save a lot of money there. Just a few weeks ago, we saw what was happening in the scholarship program with the Lincoln firm. There are the Congressional Budget Office, the GAO Budget Office, has said there are $50 billion worth of ways to streamline the things that we are doing in our federal government to save money. And just look at what Congress passed this week on a corporate welfare bill packed with pork for a huge, huge number of corporations. Didn't need to happen. It's fiscal irresponsibility. We need to do the things that make sense, that get us out of this hole. A lot can be done with spending. A lot can be done with tax policy. We need to make sure that middle-income America, which is the backbone of America, can have jobs that will get better wages, that they can take care of families, that they can afford health care. That has to be the direction of Congress. And we can get that spending under control. We did it in the legislature. I was part of the legislature when we did a massive effort to balance the budget. We did it with cuts, and we did it with reasonable methods to make sure that we could get our budget balanced.
Lee Terry, a minute 30.
Well, let's look at the deficit. First of all, I just abhor that we even have a deficit. But we got to look at the cards that were dealt to us. Late in 99, this country started on a significant economic slide. And by March of 2000, we were in a recession. The issue isn't who to blame. The issue is, what are we going to do about it? 60%, if not up to maybe 65% of the deficit is caused by that slowdown, that recession where those revenues weren't coming in. So what do we do about it? Economics 101 says you lower taxes. You allow people to keep more of their money so that they can power the economy, that you trust people to jumpstart the economy, that you give money back to small businesses. So it's the bottom line. Do they have to lay people off? Do they have to close their door? Because you help them on taxes, they can stay open and survive through an economic recession. And what we're seeing now, because of those seeds planted by the tax cuts that I supported and want to make permanent, is that we're now growing our economy. The revenues are now coming in, and we're seeing those deficit projections now being lowered almost monthly because of our expanding economy. We've seen 1.7 million jobs created, a lot of them in manufacturing areas. We've seen job growth here just in the last few months in the state of Nebraska. So we're on the right track to make sure that we go back to the days of having a surplus.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
The jobs that are being created in this country are happening at all levels, but the majority of them are happening in lower sector jobs that don't pay enough for people to be able to earn a living. The jobs that are being created don't have health benefits. People cannot make it in this economy unless we stimulate the jobs that will be the jobs of the future that do pay well. We can't go on with this budget deficit. The answer is not what Congressman Terry says. He should have said we've got to get fiscal sanity back to our budget and not have a third of the budget deficit be because of tax cuts.
Well, Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Lowering taxes, expanding our economy, growing our economy is the fiscally responsible policy. And the other 20%, by the way, that she criticizes me for was to authorize funds for the war on terrorism, to supply our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I guess intellectually she would have said that she would not have supported supplying our troops with the funding level necessary that they will be safe when they're fighting for us.
New question for Lee Terry. What is your position on federal funding for and regulation of embryonic stem cell research?
Well, let me just start off by saying that I'm pro-life. And my belief infrastructure, my beliefs that my parents taught me, that I feel strongly about, is that life begins at conception, whether it's done naturally or in a petri dish, by cloning or fertilization, and that I understand that there's a delicate balance here, but I fall on protecting life, and that I don't believe that federal taxpayers' funding on this very controversial subject should be used for the destruction of life. I believe that life should be more important than just a medical experiment. And I've talked to our officials over at University of Nebraska Medical System, not to criticize them, but to ask, are there other ways that we can find cures for diabetes, juvenile diabetes, for Parkinson's disease, other diseases, without having to use embryonic stem cells? And they're making great strides in alternative research. For example, the most promising technology or research has been with adult stem cells. That medical research has jumped miles ahead, and I fully support the research that would involve adult stem cell research.
Nancy Thompson, a minute 30.
I support medical research. We are privileged to have in this congressional district the researchers who can make the difference and give life to people with serious, serious illnesses and find the treatments for those illnesses. We need to recognize that the research we're talking about is a small number of cells created through fertility processes that will be destroyed anyway. And those cells were not going to be life-creating. They weren't ever going to get to that. They are going to be destroyed anyway. Rather than throw away this opportunity to help people who have debilitating diseases, juvenile diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, we need to, as a country and as a state, say we want to help those people. That is life. And we need to take care of the fact that as a country, we have been leaders in medical research throughout our history. We're going to ship that over to England, to Singapore, to other countries, because we have a policy that locks us into a previous date that doesn't give us the opportunities to have this breakthrough research to solve daily life problems of people with these illnesses. We need to support research. We need to recognize that this is important for people, and we need to support our research institutions in Nebraska.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
And I support medical research throughout my entire six-year career in the United States Congress. I've supported the expansion and funding of medical research. I just won't, in that delicate balance, support taxpayer monies towards this type of research. We can fund all the other research. And that's a major difference between my opponent and me, is on the question of life. I won't use taxpayer money to fund abortions either, and that's a clear difference between us.
Nancy Thompson.
Medical research is critical to people being able to lead lives and be able to be healthy and happy. And I've seen the effects of these diseases with members of my own family. I can't tell you how hard it is to watch a person with these diseases as their life deteriorates. This is about life. This is about medical research. This is about taking our country forward to help people and not doing unrealistic things, taking strident positions to stand in the way of that research.
Next question and last question before we go to closing statements. This is for Nancy Thompson. There is considerable debate in this country about all kinds of jobs moving to other countries because it's cheaper to perform them there. Is this a major problem? And if so, what would you do about it?
American workers want to be able to compete. They just want a level playing field. I have talked with people who have lost their jobs here. I have talked with people from technology aspects of our economy here to the manufacturing aspects of the economy. They just want to compete on a level playing field. We have to make sure that our trade policies don't export pollution, don't export poor working conditions, don't undercut our ability to provide wages here in this country that are reasonable because we're sending the jobs there that are not paying people reasonable wages. We need to have fair trade. We need to make sure that as a government, we do the things in our tax policy that make sure that our businesses here aren't encouraged to offshore. We need to make sure that the tax policy doesn't favor sending those jobs abroad. We also need to invest in the jobs of the future. We need to invest in our biotechnology jobs and our energy jobs and the things that will help us compete in the global economy. We have to invest in science. We have to be forward-thinking. I introduced the bill in the legislature that said if we're spending taxpayer money for our contracts, then the jobs ought to be in this country. And I stand by that, and I believe that that's a fair policy. We have to do more to make sure that our American jobs are kept here for our American workers and that we're doing more to promote jobs here in America.
Lee Terry, a minute 30.
I'll tell you, nothing irritates me more than seeing American jobs shipped overseas. We need to preserve those jobs for our men and women in the workforce. Let's take a look. Let's be a little analytical. One of the reasons why people or businesses are offshoring is to move those jobs because it's cheaper labor. Now, certainly as an American policy, we're not going to sit here and say we need to lower people's wages in America. So let's look at the other side of it and say, how do we make the employer more competitive in a global environment? And we need to look at the corporate tax rate and the corporate tax structure. Do you realize that American corporations have the second highest corporate tax rates in the world? Over the last 10 years, the European Union has lowered their corporate tax rates, and now we're seeing their businesses more productive and increasing. Ireland is the high-tech capital of Europe. Why? Because they have a 12% corporate income tax rate. So if we're going to be competitive, let's take off the corporate tax shackles, let them earn more money so they can pay their employees more money, and keep our talented workforce in America.
Nancy Thompson, 30 seconds.
fundamentally, we need to make sure we have that talented workforce in America, and we have to make an investment in higher education. We have to make an investment to make to our education policies that that Congressman Terry and I differ so strongly about on how we're spending our money. Do we spend it on that expensive cookie cutter additional testing, or do we put that into the resources that help our kids graduate from high school, be able to get a college scholarship if they need one, be able to succeed in our economy, but most of all, investing in them for their future in the global economy.
Lee Terry, 30 seconds.
Once we look at the corporate tax rate and their in competitive or non-competitive position in the world, we got to make sure we've got the infrastructure. We need to look at a national broadband policy. So if we have a business that wants to ship or send through the broadband internet system data to be processed, they don't have to send it to Dolly, India. Maybe they could send it to Dorchester or Deschler, Nebraska instead, where we can rely on that incredible quality workforce right here in rural Nebraska.
Well, it is time now for our two-minute closing statements. And again, as a result of a coin toss, Lee Terry goes first for 2 minutes.
Well, thank you once again to the Press Club and the League of Women Voters for sponsoring this last debate between us. And I think what people heard today was the philosophical differences between us. Me, I want our businesses to succeed. I want people to come back to work. I want to empower them. I want to empower the individual because I trust the spirit, the entrepreneurial spirit, the parenting spirit of the individual. And I will tell you that in my 6 years in Congress, I voted against government expansion, of empowerment of government over the lives of people, and that means lowering taxes. That means fighting the war on terrorism and funding our Army and our military to make sure that they have the tools necessary to protect us. That means that I've worked on a national energy policy that looks at conservation, looks at increasing supply, and looks at alternative technologies like the hydrogen fuel cell that, as I mentioned, can have a Chevy Tahoe go at 40 miles to the gallon versus the 16 or 17 it gets now. That's the way that we protect the future of our company, of our country and our communities. We need to be safe. We need to be secure in our communities. And I'm the one that has supported the policies that give us that level of peace of mind. I've enjoyed being your congressman. I've worked hard being your congressman, and I would respectfully request your vote and your support on November 2nd.
Nancy Thompson.
Thank you again for having me here for this debate and for both of us having the opportunity to offer you differing point of views. I really appreciate that. The differences between us this election year are enormous, and this is an election where you're going to choose whether to send your three-term congressman back to Congress or to change direction. I believe I bring common sense, Nebraska priorities to the agenda. We have to get to the issues of an affordable future for our children and our grandchildren. Congressman Terry ran for office saying he supported a balanced budget, but he voted for budgets that put this tremendous deficit in place. He ran for Congress saying that he was not going to have education policy be dictated by the federal government. And when Senators Hagel and Nelson and the educators of this community and the education community came together and said, don't vote for No Child Left Behind, it's going to cause tremendous problems here. We don't need it. Put the money into the more important aspects of education. He said no. When it comes to what is the future for us in terms of leadership, what's going to happen with affordable health care in this country, his answer is savings accounts. Save for it and try to keep up with that 13%. That's not an answer. We need to get to the issues of affordability, of price, of utilization, and we can do it, and I will lead for you on that issue. We have tremendous differences of opinion about the future of this country, but most importantly, about how we're taking care of the people who are coming back from the war. He voted to not fully fund health care for our veterans. we need to have them taken care of. We need to make sure that our policies put them as a priority. We need to make that change. I want to be the person who goes to Washington for you to bring the priorities of Nebraskans back on the agenda.
A couple of thank yous before we conclude. These debates are important for public understanding. First of all, thank you very much, candidates, for coming. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Also, thank you, KIOS Public Radio and Cox Communications, for carrying the debate. Thank you, League of Women Voters, for joining with the Press Club and putting on this debate. And a special thank you to the League's Belinda Greiner for all the work she did to make this happen. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today we heard a debate between the two major party candidates for Congress from Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District, incumbent Republican Lee Terry, and challenger Democrat Nancy Thompson. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, October 14, 2004, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Gary Kerr for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The next forum will be Thursday, November 11th at 12 noon. The guest speaker will be Dr. John McKeel, superintendent of the Omaha Public Schools. He'll discuss President Bush's No Child Left Behind initiative. If you'd like to attend this or other future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Election Day is this coming Tuesday, November 2nd. Be sure and take the time to go to the polls and vote. Remember, the only votes that don't count are those that aren't cast. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.